On the back of my notes is the song and the words. What a day that will be. I want to preach to you tonight on going to be moving one of these days. Amen. I forget what year it was we moved in next door. I don't remember all those kinds of dates. There's some in our family who can remember every date. My son was that way. He could remember everything. I'm good to remember my birthday. You know, if 9/11 hadn't happened a few years ago, I'd be in really bad shape. But we've lived over there a number of years. Once in a while, Jeff especially, who's one of our neat freak sons, he'll go out in my garage and he'll say, "Dad, we need to have a throwaway day. We need to back a dumpster up here and get rid of some things." I used to, if I hadn't used it within 5 years, I'd think, well, maybe I ought to think about getting rid of it. The problem with that is I can't remember that far back anymore. you guys who do things and you have tools and parts and all this kind of stuff, have you found that every time you throw away a bunch of stuff, you could have used it the next day? Oh, yeah, this happens every time. But if you hadn't have thrown it away, you couldn't have found it. And you'd have went to the hardware store and bought it anyway. I filled up a 5-gallon bucket full of that stuff here a while back. And by the way, Jeff, I took it to Altars. Actually, I didn't. I gave it to somebody else to take down there. I didn't do it. I would hate to have to move again. Good night. You guys only been married, what, 5 years, 4 years, five? And just moved and accumulate 45, 50 years worth of stuff. A lot of it needs to go to the junk. Anyway. And you start moving that. I want to tell you something. What we're going to talk about here tonight, you don't have to take anything with you. You can leave it all behind. Amen? Notice verse number one. Verse number one. It's all the farther we're going to go tonight. It's a pivotal verse. It's a very important verse. But notice what it says. Revelation 4, verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you so much. We have the privilege tonight just to gather and to rehearse the things of God. And Father, tonight, as we look to this scripture and look at really what comes in these chapters and the glories of your presence, I pray that our hearts might just be gladdened, our soul would be heightened. And Father, the things that we see and look at around this world that are so disgusting and depressing and all of that, oh God, we might realize we have something far greater. And as you said in your word, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we shall all be taken into your very presence. Oh God, we pray tonight that you might enthuse our hearts in the things of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Been a few months ago, we looked at the seven letters that are written to seven different churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. This particular chapter and the one that follows take us into the very throne room of God. Every time I get to this portion of Scripture and begin to read, chapters 4 and 5 just become so awesome as you think about the glories of God and all that surrounds Him. What's interesting is that after you get done with chapters 4 and 5, then the focus comes back to the earth. And we see nothing but destruction and terror upon this old world as God's judgment comes forth in a time we call the tribulation. But I want us to understand something tonight as we get to chapter number 4 and verse number 1. It's a very special verse because without it and an understanding of it, we might have some things all mixed up. Have you ever got done buttoning your shirt and you got down to the end and you discovered that the thing was just all cockeyed? Anybody ever done that? Yeah, I just did that a couple weeks ago. And I get done buttoning, I'm thinking, what's going on? You know, and the tail on the shirt is longer on one side than the other. Oh, man. I got to take all those buttons off and go back down through the list once again. You know, it's kind of tough when you're old because you got to match hole one with hole button one, and I didn't do that. And so I had one with two and two with three and three with four. And so I go and I get up here and I want to make sure I got this right this time. I don't start with the top button. I go down to the first one and I buttoned that and I double check, make sure I had it because I didn't want to go through that again and get that straight because it's kind of embarrassing. How many have ever put on, I did this here a while back, I put a polo shirt on inside out. We were on vacation. I even went to several places like that. It's not funny, brethren. This is serious stuff. And how many have ever done that? You're laughing at me. Oh, thank you. We have some other folks like this that are honest in this place. All right. And, you know, things like we got to keep things straight, right? So anyways, we look here and we look at this verse, and it's a very important verse. First of all, we find it's a transitional verse. If you notice that very first phrase there, after this, and then go right to the very end of the verse, and it says hereafter. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. I'm not even a Greek student, but I read people who are. And the word that is used here in the Greek is the same for both spots. It's translated after this, and it's translated hereafter. What's interesting, if you go back to chapter number 1 and verse number 19, you will find that it says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Interesting that we would find that. Chapter number 1, verse number 19, I believe is an outline to the book of the Revelation. And it's very basic. He says, I'm writing you things, and here's the outline. Here's the past, here's the present, and here's the future. And as you look in chapter 1, you find that that had already been taken place. You look at chapter 2 and 3, and it's that which is present. It's talking to churches. We are church. And so it's talking to people during what I would describe then as a church age. And then when you get to chapter number 4, this word becomes very clear because he said, write the things that shall be hereafter. And so here we're finding now the remains of the book of the Revelation dealing with the hereafter. Chapter 4 and 5 then speaks of the redeemed saints of God that are in heaven. They're in His presence and they're worshiping Him there. It's a beautiful, wonderful scene. And then when we get to chapter 6, down to chapter number 19, we find what we call the tribulation period. And it's a period where the wrath of God comes upon mankind as He judges this old sinful world and seeks to purify His people Israel. And so here in Revelation 4:1 is a very important verse that we understand correctly, that we keep on track. We're making a transition, and we are changing now from that which is present to that which is future. It's also a typical verse. And what I mean by that is, it's speaking to one man in particular, that's the person of John. And he says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door open in heaven. And I say it's typical because it is representative of all of us, because one of these days, when that trumpet sounds, as we find, and the shout is made, and we'll talk more about that, you and I get to go into the very presence of God. One man is affected, but He becomes a representative man. This verse is important for that. We also find that this verse is a verse of illustration. The book of Revelation is filled with signs and symbols and illustrations. You go to chapter 1 and verse number 1, it says he sent and signified. If you would take that word signified and put a couple dashes in there, you would find it signified. Signified. It's full of signs. If you've read the book of the Revelation, you know how true it is. Jesus is pictured as a lamb. And of course, John is tremendous at that. And John the Baptist was the one who first pointed out when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." We find that the redeemed saints are pictured as 24 elders. We find the New Jerusalem being referred to as the bride that descendeth out of heaven. We find the Antichrist is called a beast. And so there are many examples and illustrations we could use, but the symbols are throughout this book. It no way changes what God says and what he is going to do in literal events. But he uses the language of symbolism to describe actual events. And so we find here that he tells us something. Notice here he says, "And behold, after this I looked." I looked. Here's a symbol we find. And we find, first of all, it uses our eyes. And he says, "I saw something." What did he see? It says here he saw a door that was opened in heaven. A door open in heaven. That literally means a door that's standing open. One of my favorite phrases when the kids were at home, and still is, they go in and out the door, and when especially cold outside, and they leave the door standing open. Any of you folks have that problem? And that door standing open, I'll holler and say, "You born in a barn?" And my smart aleck oldest daughter will every time say, "Well, Jesus was." She needs a SWAT still today, Jeff. You would be so happy for me to do that. I know that. You folks having too much fun tonight. But the door was standing open. That's significant for us because we find one of these days that door will close. It's interesting, in the book of Revelation, we find already there's a door in chapter number 3 talking to the church at Philadelphia. It says, "I've set before thee an open door and no man can shut it." By the way, where we take our name from our church, an open door of service, opportunity that's there available to us. And we find that certainly we have great opportunities to minister unto people about us. In chapter 3 as well, in verse number 20, he talks about another door there. And he is saying, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." And some people call that a door of salvation. He's standing at the church door. I think he's wanting fellowship with some believers who've gotten so far out of touch with the Lord that he's on the outside and wanting to be on the inside. And so he's wanting them to invite him within. So there's a door of service, and I call that the door of fellowship. But here's a door of summons as it's standing open and inviting those who are saved, if you please, to come in. The Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, is the door. And you and I have the privilege to come unto him through that door. He's the only way to God. Today that door stands open, if you please, in the sense that whosoever will can enter therein. And thank the Lord for that privilege. In chapter number 19, we find the door of splendor as in that particular one, heaven will be opened once again. But we find here that it involves the eyes. We find also involves the ears, because we see here, he says, "And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me." Not only did John see a door, but he heard a trumpet. Again, language of symbolism. He said, "The first voice which I heard was it were a trumpet talking with me." What he heard was not an actual trumpet, but it had the noise of a trumpet in the sense that it was alarming. It was that which got his attention. It's interesting, the Word of God, You go back to the book of Numbers in chapter 10, you find that God gave them rules as far as their marching orders were concerned, how to use trumpets so that everybody was doing the right thing at the right time. For instance, here at our church, you hear a bell go off, and you know that there's a certain time that has now taken place. You hear the bell go off, and what do you know? Well, the service will begin, or perhaps it's the end. You notice we don't put bells for the ending of it, and we just do the start of those things. And so that's a time to gather together. If you happen to be here someday, and you hear the fire alarm go off. Some of you have heard that. I believe that went off here some time ago when I happened to be gone even. And that has a very, very high-pitched, very noisy sound, and you will know it very well. But there's also a burglar alarm bell, or trumpet, if you please, that will go off, and it's a quite different sound. Most of you have never heard that. You can ask LaDonna about it. She's been able to set that off on a couple of occasions. And whenever she wants in the building, she will call and say, is the alarm off? Even though she knows how to turn it off, I've walked her through it, and she's not going to do it. I have found that out, all right? But we have those kind of alarms. They're things that are saying, hey, this is going to take place. You're driving down the road, and you hear a siren. You can tell, hey, I need to get over the side because what? There's a fire truck. There's a police car that wants to get around. And so we use these different kinds of sounds. Well, they had trumpets for these things. A certain trumpet would go off, meant we need to assemble for war. Another type of trumpet would, not type of trumpet, but a different sound would come out. It means, hey, it's time to pack up. We're ready to move, and we're going to head out from this place. And so they used trumpets. Trumpets also figure heavily in the New Testament, particularly in the end times. We've referred to it, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, it talks about the trump of God, and when it sounds, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and how we're looking forward to that time. But we find that, of course, the trumpet sound is in reference to the rapture. And so when this trumpet sound, it's time for us to break camp and go off to glory. Amen? That's what it's all about. One of these days, that trumpet blast is going to be there. But notice what John says here. This trumpet was a voice. It's a voice. And I wonder if this is not the voice of the Lord calling his people home. I just find the significance, and to me it looks like that here he's talking to John, but it's also applicable to you and to me as the trump of God, the voice of God, as he calls us to be into his presence. Something interesting about when the Lord Jesus spoke loudly, when he shouted, if you please, at the tomb of Lazarus. It says with a loud voice, and what took place? Lazarus came forth. On Calvary, we find that he gave out a shout, and what took place that day? There were many of the dead saints arose. And one of these days, the shout's going to be made, and the graves of God's people are going to come open, I mean instantaneously, and be taking their bodies into the very presence of their soul and their Savior. What a glorious day that will be. And so we find here the illustration that is given to us. We find the implication. We find it speaks of deliverance, being taken out from this place, and seeing things which must be hereafter. In other words, referring to future things. And we're going to be removed from this world of tribulation that is going to come upon us. I don't know about you, there are people who believe that we're going to go through the tribulation. And they believe that it's a purifying time for the church of God. I believe that you and I are going out before the tribulation. And I believe that I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord during that particular time. If you want to stick around, go for it. It's your deal, but I'm going up and looking forward to the upper taker. Amen. It speaks of a destination. So shall we ever be with the Lord. One of the things I find people asking me so often is, what's it going to be like in heaven? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? What are we going to do in heaven? And I even had one guy said, it sounds like it's going to be kind of boring if all we're going to do is stand around and sing all the time. By the way, have you noticed when you're singing, you're generally pretty happy? Unless you're singing the blues. Huh? Or bluegrass. Isn't that interesting? Bluegrass has blue in there for a reason. All right, but you know, we're generally pretty happy when we're singing. There's something inside of us, and I don't know about you, but it'd be kind of nice to be able to sing throughout all of eternity, not lose the voice, and just being able to sing forth the praise of God. I don't know what we're going to be doing, but this I do know, we're going to be with the Lord. You realize tonight, don't you? It's not what you're going to do, it's who you're going to do it with. Really. And you know, a lot of folks say, well, I want to do this, I want to do that. Hey, you know, doing different things, I've done a lot of different things, but who you do it with is really very important. And it becomes really a highlight. What was it, 2 summers ago, I believe, who was I with? Teresa. And who was with us? We went parasailing. I went parasailing. She went on a fear fright trip. It made my trip so much even nicer. It was. Who was with us? You were with us? You were up there? You were in the boat? Oh, they're no big deal. All right. But serious, it's being with people is what's really all about. It would not have been any fun up there by yourself. Especially when Teresa was along, because she was scared to death. It was wonderful to be able to do those kind of, it's who you're with. Amen? Seriously. And we fail to recognize that so often. And here we find we're going to ever be with the Lord. Can you think of anybody who would be more exciting than the Lord? Wow. The one who made heaven and earth and all that there is. And so we find that it speaks of our deliverance into His presence. And it speaks of that destination of being with Him. Wow. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. Amen. When I look upon His face. Wow. What a great thing to be able to go in the very presence of God and remain there forever and ever. So what we see in this verse, after this, after what? After this church age, after all of this is over, when it's come to its end, after this, He says, I looked. And what did He see? He says, I see a door that's opened in heaven. I see the availability of walking to the very presence of God. By the way, St. Peter's not there checking your ID card either. See? And we get to go into His very presence. And what a blessing that is. And then we find in the remainder of this chapter, in the following chapter, the wondrous beauties of heaven. And the throne room of God around which you and I are going to get the opportunity to be. And then we find, and I believe the book of Revelation is in chronological order for the most part, we find in chapter 6, the attention is drawn back to the earth. While we're in the presence of God, back on earth, we find that little judgment begins to take place. As the seals are broken, and one judgment after another comes upon this old world. And if I understand my Bible correctly, I find that it's a time of Jacob's trouble. I find it's a time that is referred to, I believe, in the book of Daniel as the 70th week of Daniel. And by a week, he means 7 years of tribulation upon this earth. And you and I be in the presence of God. Brethren, there are people that you know and I know that if we don't talk to them about Christ and they don't get saved, they're going to miss this. I believe it can be very soon. When I read and study the book of Revelation and I find the many different things that are going to take place, you couple that and go back to the book of Zechariah and Daniel, book of Ezekiel, and you begin to see what's going to take place with the nations in the end time, we are ripe. Anytime. And there's something unusual today that couldn't happen a number of years ago. When Jesus comes back, every eye today can see Him. It's amazing. I have in my pocket right here a cell phone. It's a smartphone. It has availability to be connected to almost anything in the world. Sitting in my pocket. It's interesting. We do talk on them once in a while. But you can get video feeds that are live from anywhere in the world. It's amazing. About 6 months ago, Edie Todd sent me an email, and it had on there a little, what do you call them, click through. And so I do that. And I can do that on my phone. I get email on my phone. And I can click through, and it showed a live feed of the volcano erupting that I had been at about 6 months previous to that. And can look at the cauldron as it's boiling over. I mean, instantaneous. By the way, did you know that Costa Rica has the highest percentage of ownership of cell phones in the world? You go up and down the mountains of Costa Rica, and at nighttime you look out and you see lots of lights. What you probably won't know is many of those lights, if not most of them, are little communities. And nobody in the city, in that little community, has electricity in their house. It's the street light. It's all they have for the entire town. But at the bottom of the pole will be some plug-ins and cell phones being charged. It's amazing. There's a place north of us in Sioux City, they make towers for cell phones. I've been in their place. In the last 5-10 years, they have shipped literally thousands of towers across the continent of Africa. What could not happen for years and years to get landlines to all of those people now is happening, means of cell phones. Every eye shall see him. Brethren, we're close to the coming of the Lord. I say all that to remind us we have people who need Christ. We need to reach him. There's evidence. I can't prove it, but it looks like it when I go to the book of Thessalonians, that those who've heard before the rapture probably can't get saved afterwards. Oh, we need to be diligent to reach people. Amen? They might be saved. You've no doubt heard about the series Left Behind. And in those books, they talk about revival, and I believe there will be some revival fires take place at that time. But let's understand something about revivals. They're generally not worldwide. There's literally millions and millions of people who are going to perish without him. As we were praying tonight, one was praying and asking God to change some things in our country. Because in the last, what's it been, 40 years, we have committed genocide as a nation. We have exterminated more people than Hitler even thought about, or Stalin, or both of them combined. And we've done it in the name of abortion. And as I think about that, and literally the millions of women who've walked into these clinics because they didn't want to be burdened with a pregnancy to kill their baby. The hardness of the heart. How we need to reach people for Christ. Amen? We live in some times that we need to get busy. Amen? Because the Lord is coming soon. I'm excited about that. But I know some people that need Jesus. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Lord, thank you for the encouragement of knowing what awaits us. Knowing that that trumpet-like voice of God that cries for us to come into his presence. Lord, it's almost like you're standing on the precipice, putting your hands to your mouth, ready to make the cry. And Lord, we are encouraged by that. But at the same time, oh Lord, put into us the urgency to reach those about us. And Lord, I pray there's maybe one in our midst tonight that doesn't know you. They might realize they need you. Not tomorrow, but today. Work on our hearts tonight, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand.